This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm just going live once again. Hopefully this time we'll be able to sort out. Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Umar bhai. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, alhamdulillah. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too, mashallah. Waiting for you to come to your favorite city, the city of Kolkata.
Yeah, very soon, inshallah, 26th, I should be with you, inshallah, in Kolkata.
Inshallah, look forward to that. Just to welcome everyone who's watching this video live, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're joined by Brother Umar Sharif. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless us that we have been able to come forward and attend this short session where we will be talking about three topics that we've really taken up today. One is something which has a political implication. The other is one which has religious significance. And the third is one which combines all of the two, right, Umar bhai? Aitka combines politics as well as religion. So, the first topic that we will be taking up is the issue of triple talaq. And this is a topic which has been going on for a long time. And recently, in the Lok Sabha, in the Indian Parliament, the bill was passed which makes it a cognizable offense to utter the word triple talaq instantly in three go, utter it three times in one go. Now, we've already had a lot of discussions on this, but let's give it some more perspective, Umar bhai. What is your view on this bill which has been passed? How do you see this panning out in the future?
I really liked what our barrister Asaduddin Owaisi said, the criminalizing of this issue, it doesn't fit in within the constitutional rights because this issue is a civil issue wherein a marriage is a contract between two members, and to criminalize for uttering talaq thrice at one go is really not making sense to most of the people who know the law. And and secondly, the fact that the Supreme Court and the most of the people today who are talking about law, they don't acknowledge the triple talaq to happen in one go. When the crime doesn't take place, how can you actually put that person for a crime and punish him and send him to the jail? So that really doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, I seem to have lost the audio, so we just wait for the audio to come back. We just wait for a couple of minutes, just be patient.
Yeah.
Yes, Umar bhai. Continue.
Yeah, so a lot of intellectuals are raising the issue. We all agree that the triple talaq at one go is not right. And in fact, most of the Muslims in India don't give this triple talaq at one go. Actually, they even consider it to be a talaq-e-bidah. Talaq-e-bidah right. is an innovated way of giving talaq, and which is really detested and abhorred by the majority of the Muslims. And among the Shia, they don't consider this to be valid also. And among the Ahlul Hadith, right. they don't consider it to be valid also. But amongst the four main schools of thought, Shafi, Hanafi, Hanbali, Maliki, they also consider it to be an innovated way of giving talaq, but they say it's a wrong way of giving it. So at the end of the day, they also don't right. say that this is the right way of giving talaq.
Promote but anyhow, it, yeah.
Yeah, they promote it. We all feel good that there's a change coming up, but I would have felt very happy if the change was coming from our own community. If it had been right. without the government interference, it would have been much better, isn't it?
Hmm. Yeah, because we all were expecting... Yeah, we were all expecting that there would be a committee which would be formed. For example, the recent Padmavati issue, the movie Padmavati, when the issue went out of hand, they got a committee of people who were from the family, allegedly from the family of Padmavati, etc., and from the royal families and from the film fraternity to come together and come to a conclusion, to come to a decision. The government did not interfere directly in this matter. And it would have been better if the government would have involved people who were representative from the scholarly background, as well as the Muslim women right activists who have been raising up this issue. Don't you think so?
See, the claims of the government and the members of the BJP is that they want to help the Muslim women. You know, that's the claim that they make. But in fact, if you happen to see, the Muslim men are the ones who always considerate about the Muslim women. It's quite nice, isn't it? Even when the Muslim women... who can be more caring than the Muslim men for their Muslim women? And if you happen to see when women were raped in Gujarat under the regime of our Prime Minister, Mr. Narendra Modi, in his tenure, when the Muslim women were raped in public, and when a pregnant woman's stomach was slit open and the baby was taken and killed under the Trishul, who were raising the voice? Was it the Sanghis, or were the Sanghis raising the voice, or were the people who are talking about civil rights and the Muslims were raising the voice? We were raising the voice. See, they claim 100 things, but the people who really care for the Muslim women cannot be anybody other than the Muslim men. This has to be very strongly drilled into the minds of the people, you see. And you see, there's so much of lacunae when you see their claims. They're saying a lot of things, they promise a lot of things, but how much of it they actually value to whatever they utter, it's really a big question. And if you actually see this law, which they are trying to, this bill that they're going to pass, it says that if a person utters triple talaq at one go, he has to be sent to jail.
Yeah,
they say that he has to be sent to jail for a period of 3 years.
Yeah, non-bailable.
I don't understand how good is it by sending a person to the jail for 3 years. It is worse than talaq, because if a person is giving talaq, then a lady, she can live in her own way. She can get married to someone. But here, if a person he is giving a talaq and talaq is not considered as talaq and it is void, and in that case he's sent to the jail. Then the lady, she cannot choose another husband, and she has to wait for her husband who's going to come after 3 years and then give talaq. I mean, I really don't understand this whole idea of... see, one thing I want to say, the best way to stop talaq is that if a woman, she loves her husband by her heart, and if she's displaying her love through her actions, no man would want to give talaq. You see, it's a two-way, you know, even the man has to be caring, and he has to be having the sense of empathy. So it's a two-way. If love is there, then there are people who can, walk thousands of miles just for the sake of love, isn't it?
True. MashaAllah. Yeah. And in fact, what we had expected was they would have actually suggested certain steps that could have been taken in order to ensure that these kind of practices get abolished completely. And no doubt that fear of law plays a very important role. And I don't have an issue with them coming up with a strict rule, provided they had also come out with certain steps and suggestions on how the Muslim society can actually get involved in this matter. Having an arbitration being done under a Muslim scholar, a counselor who can sit together. I mean, none of these were discussed. It seems that they were in a haste to pass a bill which will immediately put the people, the Muslim men especially, criminalize an action which has already been made null and void. I mean, if a triple talaq is already made null and void, there is no point, giving a punishment for something which is not valid. So, let's see how this works out now in the Rajya Sabha. So, they're going to have a special committee now sitting on this as well to see if there is ways this can be improved. We hope there is a wise sense which prevails.
I have an argument. Actually, the divorce rate among the Muslims is the least, actually. The way they are putting it across is something which is unnatural. The reality on grounds is that the Muslims are those who don't give divorce so easily. Because it is not something which is considered to be praiseworthy to give divorce at once, you see.
Right.
And if you happen to see, on the contrary, amongst the non-Muslim, there is a culture which is being recognized by the government and which is recognized by the Supreme Court. That is the live-in relationship. And under the live-in relationship, a man, without giving a talaq, he says bye to the, you know, you can't call her as a wife, you know, as an acquaintance, you know, whom he's going to live for a consort, whatever you say. For a period of time, he lived with her. And when she feels that he doesn't want to carry this relation, he just says bye and he goes away. And think about that case without, you know, any divorce or any kind of system, any kind of maintenance, and a lady who has got a child, what is her case? So when the people of India have accepted that culture, then how difficult is it for them to accept the triple talaq at one go? See, I'm not in favor of triple talaq at one go, but at the same time, I want to check their standards by which they are deciding what is right and what is wrong. So if this is wrong, then even that is wrong. They have to also say, you know, live-in relationship is wrong, and the way the relationship breaks is also wrong, and we have to consider that to be void from now on. You know, live-in relationship should be banned from now on. See, that's
the absolutely issue. Absolutely. And in fact, a very important statistic is that as per 2011 census, there are about 23 lakh women who have been abandoned by their husband, which means they are still in marriage, but the husbands have just left them. They've just dumped them. Let's put it very plainly. They've just been dumped by the spouse, by the husband, and they're still in the marriage. They can't go anywhere. And out of this 23 lakh, 20 lakh are cases of non-Muslim Hindu women. That's like 88%. And I don't wish to make this into a religious affair. It's not the issue of being a Hindu or a Muslim. It's a matter which has to be taken care of. I mean, if people are so concerned about certain community and they want to please the Muslim community, which, by the way, is something which the current government was against. They were against pleasing of any section. So we would like to remind them that there are cases which are serious cases, and we want that all these 23 lakh women, their rights are also protected. That's not a small number.
I mean, I just happened to go through a post today by one lady called Lamba. She's tweeted. She said
Alka Lamba. She's the AAP member. AAP member. Yeah.
Alka Lamba. She Alka said, Lamba. Why do the Muslims have to say talak, talak, talak? They can just be cool without saying talak and become the Prime Minister of India. You understand? You see, the thing is, the people who are talking about the rights of the women are not walking the talk. There are people who talk, they make loose claims and everything. We have been witnessing, but how much of it really carry any water? How much of it really, do they really adhere to their principles? It's a big question, you know. So, we hope and pray that there are good days to come, inshallah.
Right. Inshallah. So we'll move on now from the triple talaq issue. We'll see how the developments take place, and then we'll come back to discussing this in the future as well. The next thing which we wanted to take up was the issue of the New Year celebrations. And I wanted to know, how do you see the New Year celebrations taking place, especially at the time where our country is going through a turmoil in the sense that we have so many farmers who are committing suicide. There is an economic distress taking place, and so many cases of lynching, etc., taking place. The happiness index, I would feel, is not at its best at this point of time. And
that's
this time,
be happy on New Year's Day.
Okay. So how do you see this New Year celebration? I would like to know from you the Islamic perspective on it, as well as an Indian, how do you see it?
See, if I did not know about Islam, then I would have celebrated the New Year's. You understand? Okay. That's all it is. You see, New Year, for the people of dunya, for the people of this world, it's a day to merry, you know, the night to have a lot of fun. And for them, it's like drink, party around, and dance, and drive, and bang, and die. You know, this is how it is. We have seen how the New Year's work. You know, during my college days, I have seen a lot of people partying, and we have seen the partying culture. But as a Muslim, I have understood that the real essence of Islam is to stay away from all the evil things and all the things that connect to evil things. So partying, drinking, and marrying, and all of these things is haram and forbidden. Therefore, we don't party around. And secondly, the purpose of celebrating, what is the real purpose of celebrating this New Year's Eve? If you happen to see, I just went through some of the history. I just came to know Janus is being worshipped by the was being worshipped during the Roman civilization.
Janus,
And January is the month which is named after the god, the two-headed god.
Janus.
And they worship the god Janus on that New Year's Eve, and even in those days of paganism, they used to drink, dance, and marry the whole night. So that's the culture which is coming, you know, which is being followed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're again losing your audio. So we just wait for Umar Bhai to just get back.
Yeah, Umar Bhai, please carry on. So what I'm trying to say is, we as Muslims, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man tashabbaha bi qaumin fahu minhum." Whosoever imitates a group of people, they are from amongst them. So as a Muslim, I don't want to imitate any people, any paganistic custom. Therefore, I stay away from the New Year's celebration, partying, marrying, drinking, and all of that. You see, although it's a lot of pleasure in this world, but once you die, all of these pleasures are gone. The reality is that you have to face the life of Al-Barzakh, and one has to go to the hereafter and answer for all of his actions in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we want to enjoy the everlasting kingdom in the heavens, forever in Jannah, and therefore we want to sacrifice these few parties in this world, inshallah.
Okay, moving on to the third topic that we wish to discuss, and we're trying to keep this a little short because this is the first time we're going live together, and we don't want people to feel that these two guys come and take our time, you know, spoiling the Sundays of people. Especially it's 31st December, many of you might have had your plans, so we'll try to quickly hasten up with our discussion. The third thing... No plans.
No plans.
Yeah, no plans for 31st December. Okay. Come and listen to us, inshallah. Okay. So, my third point which we wanted to discuss, and before I come to the Aitka discussion, I see a couple of questions which has come in. So, I just wanted to quickly read one of the questions, Umar Bhai. It says, this is the first question. What if a Muslim woman goes to the police station and says, "My husband gave me a triple talaq," will they arrest the man? And if they do arrest the man and he says, "But I didn't give her a triple talaq, I asked her why the dinner was not ready and she told me to go to hell and then she left the house," what do the police do? Do they arrest the man or do they tell the woman to go back home? And now if they ask the woman to go home and she says, "How can I go home? Stupid, he has divorced me and it's a non-bailable offense," what do the police do? Do they now arrest the man anyway? I think the answer, we all know it, but we would like to hear it from you. Yeah.
I'm not able to read the entire text there. I think it will be better if you answer.
Okay.
I don't want to take it up.
Okay. Well, I think it is very clear that they're going to arrest him any which ways. And in fact, a point which we have not discussed is that it doesn't need to be a wife who has to complain. It could just be a neighbor who would just go out and complain. So you might be actually watching the movie of the actor. Who was the actor? There was a movie, Nikah. Nikah was a movie which had come in India a few years back, in which the person, the hero, had given talaq three times in one go. Talaq, talaq, talaq. So you might be watching that movie at home and the volumes might be up and this hero might be saying talaq, talaq, talaq. And your neighbor may overhear the audio and he may think that you have just uttered divorce to your wife and he can just go and complain to the police. And the police will come and arrest the man. And no questions asked. The wife can keep saying, "We were watching a movie, this is the CD, this is the DVD," but there is no, it's a non-bailable offense. Right. Did you get the idea, Umar Bhai, which I was talking on?
Yeah. Actually, your sound was getting disturbed. I was not able to follow it through. I hope you would have made
all
some
right.
sense.
All right. Okay. The last question which is here at this point we'll take is, Umar Bhai, you were just mentioning that triple talaq and you compared it with live-in relationship. The question which is asked is, and this is asked by Ikta Parikh, she wants to know, triple talaq is normally issued in a moment of rage and anger. You know, in anger you say talaq, talaq, talaq. It's only when the person gets to decide, he realizes that this is not correct. So, isn't this unfair to compare it to a live-in relationship where a person knows what he's doing? He's not in a fit of rage. He's perhaps in a fit of romance. So, how do you compare the two?
Okay, I want to ask a question. It's just, see, I personally don't acknowledge the triple talaq at one go. I'm not for it. Yet I want to just put forward my arguments. Yeah. What if a person gives triple talaq with love and compassion? What would you do for that? You know, without getting angry, a person wants to just say, I want to part away. I don't want to live with you anymore. Or both of them, both husband and wife, they come to a kind of an understanding.
Mutually.
That they want to mutually end the relationship through triple talaq. If the husband and wife mutually want to end the relationship through triple talaq, what would you say for that? So, my question is, when a relationship can end abruptly, either with love or with anger, at the spur of the moment, they just decide and they end in a living relationship, when one can acknowledge that, then why can't acknowledge this also? And if you consider this is wrong, then even that is wrong. We need to put an end to both of it. So I'm just questioning the standards, but at the same time, I'm not for this triple talaq, you know, practice at one go, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not practice it.
It was only
later on, which was incorporated due to certain reasons. It also had some valid reasons. We don't want to talk against the Sahaba who acknowledged it, because they also had a reason for acknowledging it. But it was for that time, for that people. But some of the schools of thought consider it to be valid, and they also said, you know, it's called talaq-e bid'ah, and they are following until this day.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention something here about the Caliph Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and many people attribute that, you know, it was during his times things had happened. I just want to mention an incident where a man came to the Caliph of that time, Amirul Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and said, Ya Amir, I want to divorce my wife because I don't love her anymore. I don't feel any kind of love towards her. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, must every marriage be built upon love? Where is the issue of trust? So there is, it's not only about love. It's also the issue of trust. And as Muslims, we also strongly believe that the marriage is not merely based on love. It's also based on trust. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to fulfill our commitment. Yeah. Barakallahu feek. We move to the last bit that we wanted to discuss. So you mentioned in the beginning that you are planning to come to Kolkata on the 26th of Jan. Why are you coming to Kolkata? Kolkata loves you, I know that. But what brings you this time?
People of Kolkata are very loving and sweet people. You know, they actually the Kolkata people are good, except for some little few people who have always been trolling over my post, you know, earlier. But I think nowadays they all have learned big lessons in life and they would not do that again. So anyhow, Kolkata, we are coming there to conduct a 3 days program, one day conference called Republic. On the Republic Day, on the 26th of January, and 27th and 28th, we do have a summit and a Dawah-related program, wherein we want to give guidelines to the promoters of Islam, to the propagators of Islam, the legal rulings within the democratic system, as to how much they can, explain to the non-Muslims about Islam and what are their rights in conveying the message of Islam, and what are the limitations that they should keep in mind in conveying the message of Islam. And all of these things we'll be sharing with the Duat. You know, Duat are the people who are propagators of Islam. So inshallah, 3 days, I'm with you, brother Mansoor Danish.
Inshallah, I look forward to that. And to all those who have been watching this video live, before we conclude, I would like to invite you to share your views and opinion about the way we went live today. If you would like me and Umar Sharif and other guests whom we will be inviting to share a particular concern that you have, which is affecting the society, etc., whether it is related to politics or economics or religion, share your views with us. Send in your comments to us. Inshallah, we'd love to take this up. Before we conclude, Umar Bhai, I also understand that on the 26th, you have a program which will be open to all communities. Is that correct?
Yeah, inshallah. It'll be an open event for all of them. Yeah.
All right. People of Kolkata. Yeah. All right. Barakallahu feek for taking our time, Umar Bhai. I see you're still in your car, so I would allow you to carry on wherever you were moving to. Barakallahu feek for joining.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Yeah. Wafika barakallah. Hayyakallah. To all of those who were watching us live, look forward to your participation in the future as well. And do like the video and share it with your friends and your relatives. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.